Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Dice Tower can't travel yet, so I'll just have you pick three numbers and then they correlate with eight random questions.
Okay.
One through eight, what's your first number?
Seven.
Oh, this is appropriate for this one. Scream, there's only one question that could be for this particular title. What is your favorite scary movie?
Oh, excellent. The Birds.
Ooh, good choice right there.
Thank you.
Here's a spicy question to follow that up. Do you think that The Birds should be remade?
Would people be scared?
Birds can be scary.
I mean, look, I've been telling people we shot this movie in New Orleans and the birds wake you up in the morning. Like the crows wake you up in the morning, you know? And I have a small dog, so even if I wasn't scared for myself, I was terrified for Oberon.
I wouldn't be scared of birds there. Someone recently told me about, you know, like whole structure eating termites. Termites? Yeah, it was termites there.
Oh my God, you know what just reminded me of? They have the most determined and indestructible roaches in New Orleans. And as soon as the lights go out, like, you know, we were shooting late for this. Sorry. Okay, we're done. All right, what's next?
Second number, please pick a happy one.
Second number two.
All right. Two is horror specific also. This is Chauncey versus Megan. If you had a face off against one or the other, which would you pick that would give you the best chance of surviving?
Megan.
Why?
Dance off.
Oh.
Sorry, Megan, I would crush you in a dance-off.
Oh, I'll take that.
I would crush you. Also, I feel like Megan, for her part, to her credit, really doesn't mess with evil people. And I like to believe that I am a pseudo-decent. I like to believe that I'm like, you know, I'm not saying I'm, you know, Pippi Longstockings, but like, you know, I'm not out here trying to cause anybody harm.
What
so I think I'd be
right
fine.
There. I didn't think Pippi Longstocking would come up in my imaginary interview, but here we are.
Here we are.
I'm all for it. All right, your last number for dicey questions.
Let's do five.
Okay, this one's a bigger one. This is audition high and low. Can you give me one audition high? But then I also want to know an audition low you experienced and what you gained that you were able to apply to future auditions.
I gotta start with audition low.
Okay.
Because it's actually why I'm here. My my audition low was I had an audition for Blue Bloods, and it was for a recurring role. And it was literally like a secretary character. It was like a recurring, it was either recurring guest, recurring co-star, can't remember. But it was for, and I was like meeting with the producers, I was meeting with the directors, and it was simple. Like, I'm not even exaggerating. It was literally like, all I had to do was deliver a line that was like, hey, so-and-so called, right? And I'm not exaggerating. My nerves. I'll demonstrate.
Oh,
this
no.
was me. This was me in the audition.
Oh.
This was me in the audition. So yeah, that was the day that I learned that really my lot in life is to be a leading lady, and that I need. I'm so serious.
That's
and
the
that
best
I,
lesson learned ever.
That's the lesson
it.
I chose. That's
I like
something
it.
People should know about me. I choose lessons that are to my advantage.
That's what you
and
should
not
do.
Probably the actual lesson.
That's but literally the point of that question, though.
But that's what happened.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, and you see a movie like Imaginary, there's a lot of places for my nerves to go. You know what I mean?
So that was the audition low. What's the high?
Man, kind of not dissimilar, actually. It was still a disaster, but it still worked out. So I was auditioning for my very first play with director Liesl Tommy. She actually now like is a film director. She directed Respect. But at the time, I was just coming out of NYU, and I was directing for a regional production of this movie, this play called Flight, written by Charlaine Woodley. So I'm in my audition. At the time, I had this ritual where I would write my lines out, like in my journal. And so I'm doing my like audition, I'm like dancing, it's everything. It's like, it's a play with music. So I'm doing my audition, I have my book in my hand, I'm singing, I'm like, Zimalalize, Zimalalize. And the book flies out of my hand, goes directly between Liesl Tommy and my hero, Charlaine Woodley, right? Goes right between their heads. I see it go right between their heads. And I keep going. And I kept going. And I was like, just gonna keep going. And I did. And I booked it. And it was, you know, it told my body, it was like one of those things where it was like, you don't have to be perfect. You can still make mistakes. And you will still, like, you will still thrive. You're gonna be fine.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to a brand new edition of Collider Ladies Night with an old favorite, DeWanda Wise,
yes.
For Imaginary. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Can you name the personal experience you had, movie you saw, performance you saw, whatever it may be, that made you say to yourself, I absolutely have to go on to become an actor?
Probably, you know, not to be whatever, but the career of Katharine Hepburn. Part of the reason why I am such a genre jumper now, like part
like
of the reason
that.
Why I'm just like, oh, action adventure, yep, drama, yep, comedy, yes, please, is Katharine Hepburn. You know, those careers, those golden era of Hollywood careers, they didn't choose. They didn't have to choose. You know, she could go from doing like film noir to screwball comedy and have no one bat an eyelash, you know? So I think something like A Philadelphia Story or Bringing Up Baby, you know, made me realize that I could do everything.
Oh, I love that. I also love the term genre jumper.
Yeah.
I am going to repeat that somewhere. So you isolate the dream to become an actor. I have two questions about the next step, one from the craft perspective and then one from the business side of things. First, the craft side. Do you remember the very first time where you felt within yourself that you had the ability to be here and you deserve to be here, where you nailed a scene or something like that and it gave you the confidence, like, I can do this?
Yeah, I think it actually probably started. There is a version of my life, my mother's in the room for everyone watching. I think about it, I play it back now, because I think there's like a version of my life where I could be a raging narcissist, because my mother, Margie, is such, she is such a cheerleader. Like, she's such an encourager. So I don't think there was actually ever the doubt to overcome to begin with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, the question implies that there was a moment where, like, I was uncertain. Like, and then I was like, you know what? I am good at this. But there was never, you know, I was singing when I was a kid. We were always like at church and church choirs. There was never a ceiling. Like, I didn't experience a ceiling actually until, you know, I'm well in my 20s and I'm like, you know, either in training or like in the industry. And I'm like, what? Y'all got rules? That's crazy. My mama told me I'm amazing. Like, I didn't have that experience, very blessedly.
I'm learning my roadmap, but I want to follow up on that. What is the first ceiling you remember yourself hitting, and how did you break through it?
The first ceiling I hit was, you know, I was a student at NYU, and that's a very expensive school.
A little bit.
So I hit a financial wall. I hit a wall where, you know, I ended up writing an email to all my classmates, and I was like, I've had the best year with you, but like, I literally, ooh, girl, you trying to, okay. I cannot afford to be here anymore. And my friend Melanie Krims, you know, my friend Melanie told her mom about it, and her mom co-signed on a loan for me for school. And every year at NYU, you know, between that support and, you know, Dean Mary Schmidt Campbell And Sandra Bowie, who ran the department, and Dory Smith Turner, who was our financial aid lady at Tisch at the time, between the trifecta of those women, I was able to, like, make it through training.
The prices to train and study a craft like that should never be as high as they are.
It should not be.
But also all those institutions should be filled with supportive people like that.
Yeah.
I actually have another one at NYU that I want to name drop. Because last we spoke, you brought up Gina Rodriguez quite a bit.
Who is not seeing this movie.
She just doesn't like scary movies.
No, she has a son now. And her house is full of toys.
Oh.
And she's like, girl, I love you so much. But no.
See, the way my warped brain works is that would make me even more excited to see this movie.
She's like, no, girl, you know how my imagination works. She's like, you know I love you. I'll buy the ticket.
Oh, I love that. So I know how important she was as a friend, a collaborator, and just a supporter in your career. And I love highlighting in this industry, which can be very tough when someone finds someone that's not just like a good person to meet and work with now, but becomes a longtime collaborator. So
Yes. Do
you remember the very first time you met her and what it was about her that signaled to you, this is someone I'm going to stick with?
Well, Gina and I met, we were training together at the aforementioned very hard to pay for training program. So we were both students through NYU's Tisch School of the Arts at the Atlantic Theater Company Acting School. We were the only women of color in my year, which is sizable because it's 80 of us, you know. And I'm the little black girl from Baltimore. She's a Latina from Chicago. And so kind of almost immediately, we were like, I mean, really, truly immediately. I mean, to the point where, you know, when we were doing scene work, I remember, you know, Gina directing me in a scene from The Dutchman where, you know, I'm like cross-gender. I was always cross-gender. I played Prospero when I was like 16. So, you know, she's directing me. I'm directing her in a scene, you know, for Color Girls and choreographing. So there was a very early on a strong working relationship and, you know, I hope I said that, you know, she was my first manager. She started like working at a management company. So it was really, Gina and I were like day one. Mm. It was truly day one.
It's so incredibly important to find those people along the way.
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody powers through this business without them.
I don't either.
Mm. All right. So, you know, we have to take a drastic pit stop on this journey here. I have so many questions. First, like a more serious, like bigger, broader career question, because I believe that was your first franchise film.
Yes.
So two-parter on that. What would you say is a misconception about the experience of joining a film franchise? But then I also want to know something that changed for the better for you when people saw you on screen in a Jurassic movie, of all things.
I think the biggest misconception, and I really do believe this, is in the industry. I come from the Viola Davis School of Acting. I don't know if you've seen her in Hunger Games, you know.
I have seen her in Hunger Games.
Giving.
Perfect casting.
Giving.
Perfect performance.
Perfect casting, perfect performance. But, you know, I think there are certain genres. Like, I remember there was one point where, you know, I had a conversation with the casting director, and a lot of people believe that they believe in acting for a specific genre. I don't. I don't think there's a blockbuster style of acting. You know, I understand all the aesthetic sensibilities. I understand as an actor when I'm in a moment that's a cinematic moment. I know when there's a wind machine in my face. You know what I mean? I know technically that I need to make sure the hair is not in my eyes so that I'm actually being captured. But when it comes to like the emotional truth of a character, you're gonna get it no matter what genre I'm in. And I'm convinced that part of the reason that a lot of people responded to Kayla is because Kayla's a real person. You know, Kayla is just a woman in a blockbuster. It's why she's like trying to get out of there because that would be a real person in that scenario, you know? So everything about what that means, the emotional core, the full, you know, the full building blocks of character that I would do for a Three Women, I'm doing for Jurassic World Dominion.
I love when someone gives me an answer like that, and I'm like, yes, yes, I felt that. That's why I felt so strongly about her. So that was a misconception. What about something that changed for the better because you did your first franchise film?
There's nothing like feeling, you know, kind of circling back to what we were talking about in the beginning, One of the biggest surprises for me, I don't think I've said this, and, you know, this is not good news, but when I almost did Captain Marvel, you know, there was someone, there was a crew member, because I was, you know, going down the process, and they said to me, they were like, yeah, you know how it is, these movies, like, you hit your mark, you say your line, you go home. And the way your eyes just lit up, that was like, I heard that, and I was like, that is my own personal nightmare. Like, that is my own, that sounds crazy and terrible to me. So something that I think just surprised me and was like a major gift, and also a gift that I continue to experience, I experienced it on this job too, was having a degree of creative agency and not even control. It's really not, it's not even a matter, you know, Hollywood talks about control and power a lot. It's not even about that. It's just having great collaborators who are like listening to you, you know? And that is an unexpected gift that that job gave me, that even knowing that I could be the artist that I am in a space where actors traditionally don't feel like that, where they just feel like, yeah, 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 I'm gonna go and, you know, da-da-da-da-da, like make this money. Like knowing that I could be the nerdy human being that I am, you know, even in this space, even in this prototypically capitalistic commercial space, was like, I mean, mind blowing. Like, there's no turning back.
It makes me so happy to hear that that vibe is associated with one of my favorite film franchises.
Oh, big time.
Of all time.
Big time.
Usually I ask questions like this with some tact, but you know I'm obsessed with Jurassic. I almost wore my Jurassic shoes today and I stopped myself. I'm just gonna bluntly say it. Is there any chance Kayla could return in a future Jurassic movie?
Because it's you, I'm going to be honest with you, and I don't think so. And that makes me sad.
My heart,
I know,
crumbles in a million pieces.
I know,
I don't
mine
like
too.
Hearing that. I don't like hearing
Not
that.
Not into it.
I could still try to speak it and will it into existence, which I will always continue
Listen,
doing.
There's always where there's a wave.
I can build on that with a follow-up question. If you had the opportunity to explore an untapped corner of that film franchise, or maybe even something in Dominion that wasn't explored as much as you thought it could be,
yes,
what would you choose?
You know, I think I had the response experientially that I think a lot of viewers had. Where my mind went, and me and my husband talked about this a lot, where my mind went when you heard, like, oh, there are Jurassic, there are dinosaurs among us, automatically I was thinking to myself, my mind went prequel, like seeing Kayla in Detroit and the very first moment where you were like, I'm sorry, was that, what was that? Like on some Independence Day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? that's like...
All I keep saying is I want a Jurassic anthology film series.
Yes.
And I want them all to be like Battle at Big Rock.
Come
on. Where it's like, oh my God, we're human beings and we're living with dinosaurs in all these different situations, different cities, different countries,
yes,
you name it.
Mm. I'm going to call them up and be like, you know what? We got it. We got it. You're welcome.
I'll vouch for you on that. I'll back you up.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right. Get ready for my first imaginary question. This is like a whole bunch. I was determined to take that scavenger hunt and turn it into some sort of like interview question.
Brilliant.
About the craft of acting. Admittedly, this might be a stretch, but
okay,
we're
going to
try it. So this first one's easy, actually. So the first one is something that makes you happy. So can you name something that makes you happy while you're on set?
My dog was there. I brought Oberon to work every day. And even though he's a little toe biter, Oberon makes everyone very happy, including me.
Just call him a toe biter?
He bites toes. My dog bites toes. It's fine.
Okay. Okay. That's a good one right there, though. I'm all for animals, pets on set.
Yeah.
And also at junkets.
Yes.
At junkets.
Noted.
We need more pet rooms in junkets.
I'm going to do that.
The next one is, so it's something that you get in trouble for, but I want it to be something silly, like you leave set with a piece of wardrobe on or something like that.
Something I get in trouble for. I married the neatest man in America.
I know where this is going already.
I married the neatest man in America, and it drives my husband crazy because I don't close jars all the way. That's it. Like, if there's a jar in the refrigerator, it's open. It's open.
You're talking to, like, an OCD neat freak? Like, I'm on your husband's side on this one.
I know. I'm so sorry. I apologize to all of you.
All right. Next one is something that makes you cry. And for this one, I want to know an acting technique that you use to tap into a really emotional scene in a movie.
I'm one of those people that feels like I spend more energy trying not to cry than it takes me nothing to cry. Like, Jeff asked me that from the beginning. He was like, DeWanda, what do you need to go there? And I was like, takes me nothing. There's a small child upset in front of me. I'm going to cry. Like, it takes nothing.
It's a good skill to have for a movie like this. You
Very
have a
helpful.
Couple of really emotional beats there.
Yes, there are.
Okay, so the next one on the list is something that makes you mad. And I'll rephrase that one. I want to know something you saw in a past set that makes you mad, but now you see people changing it and it's going to make the industry a safer, better, more exciting place for people to work in the future.
Great question. That's a question for executive producer DeWanda.
I love that.
I don't do toxic sets. I just don't do it. I just don't. It's just a full stop no for me. So what was, you know, there's a difference, though, between being an executive producer on a set and establishing a positive work environment where everyone feels comfortable to say something if they see something, where everyone has stakes, where everyone knows that they are an equal partner in creating and telling this story. There's one thing to be able to set that from the ground up, because then the entire time is delightful. And it's another thing to be an actor on a job and have to troubleshoot and have to be the wannabe therapist and the peer mediator that I become when people aren't communicating, when someone's just acting out and just clearly like needs a hug or needs to assess what they need. You know, I'll do it. I have the time and the skill set. But it's really lovely. It does make me mad. It makes me mad when people are mistreated. It makes me mad when people, you know, don't feel safe and taken care of in an environment where it's really actually very easy to do. Mm.
The only follow-up question to that is you will produce more, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
No question.
That's the only right answer to that question. The last one, and I swear I have a positive spin on this one, something that hurts. I want to know, because like also, you know, whether it's a big emotional scene or literally anything that the job of being an actor requires, I feel like you're just giving so much of like your time, your energy, and yourself to these roles. So what is something you do to practice self-care so you could go there and know that you can come out the other side?
I'll talk specifically about this process because I read the script and before I read anything, you know, there are projects where I will literally say no. I will be like, I know this is going to win some awards, but I don't have it. Like, I don't have the bandwidth. And I don't trust that there is the safety net to catch me. I'll talk about two. Before I did this project, I worked on a show that's coming out soon called Three Women.
Just looking that up.
Right? And before I started that job, there were a number of things I needed. One, the character's smaller than me. So, you know, I needed a food plan. I needed a trainer to help me get there safely. Right? I needed the time to get there safely. And then I sat down with Laura and Lisa, our showrunners, and I asked them, I was like, hey, you know, is there, spoiler alert, is there an eating disorder specialist or is there like a counselor? You know, they hired a counselor. And then because they hired a counselor for my storyline, every character on that movie for each respective storylines then had an available therapist, counselor, on set you know, especially during those scenes. And not only there for the actors, but for there for any crew members who might have experienced who knows what, because we don't know people's full history, you know? So I do. I believe there's just a better way to do it. And with this job, you know, I knew it was going to be taxing on my nervous system. So it was all about those massages. I got a massage every week. Every week, I got a massage.
It's important.
Very important.
Self-care is vital. I fear I'm going to get the rap sign in a minute. So, yep, there it is. So, my favorite way to end ladies' night now is with this question. I will warn you, nobody likes this question, I don't care because I think it's an important thing to think about. I don't think anybody in this industry says good job to themselves nearly enough. We give each other awards and that's really cool, but nobody says it to themselves. So can you pinpoint something you did on Imaginary or any past title that you know you can look back on and say to yourself, damn, I'm proud of what I did there?
That's a beautiful question. I am very proud of successfully, we had a crew member go through something. There's a moment at the end of the film where there's a fire and we had a crew member lose their home. Cause that's how life works. You know, it's like really, it was really wild. Like we had a crew member who lost their house in a fire. And the way that that crew came together, you know, to take care, to start a GoFundMe, the way that Blumhouse, big props to Blumhouse, the way that Blumhouse stepped in, you know, not only did we create a culture of care, but it was real and it impacted people's actual lives on that set. You know, we were shooting during a strike year, you know. And more than anything, even more than whatever happens with this movie, like whatever happens with this movie, you know, I can walk away saying beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are creating something very special in the industry, that it is possible, you know, and that you can leave whatever your environment is, whatever space you are in a way that's stronger, better, safer, and more positive than you found it.
What a beautiful answer. We need more of that in this business. So I'm going to will more of that
into existence.
I'm going to will Kayla's return to the Jurassic film franchise into existence. And I know you like to do everything. I know you're a genre jumper. But do another horror movie.
This was fun.
You're pretty good at it. I think you should stay here. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Collider Ladies Night. You are welcome back anytime you want.
You're the best. Truly.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.